You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Father, I ask you for utterance. I believe I speak as the oracle of God, and I believe everyone here has eyes that see and ears that hear in Jesus' name. And that's what I'm going to talk about, eyes to see and ears to hear. How many of y'all, you've been reading your daily bread? Amen. You've been eating your daily bread?
Yes.
And you got a family?
Yes.
Everybody praying for a family.
Yes.
And we're being laser focused. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't worry. I'll get you gathered in here, because right now in this season, we've been talking about it Sunday morning. What I ministered on was about this generation, about God calling them the generation of the upright. And we began to talk about praying for people, praying for a family, because it's the family, those especially has teenagers and children and young adults. Those parents are the ones that are going to bring those children in to the kingdom of God and bring them to church, or, you know, or somehow, some way, they have a great influence over them. And we saw the staggering statistics of at what age people get born again. And really, most of the people in the United States of America get born again by the age of 22. If, because a lot of times, even though, because what we consider is this, is someone may have gotten born again, and those are past statistics, and it may change, but past statistics say, you know, that that's when people get born again. And what happens a lot, and what I know happens in our ministry, especially around here, is what you see on Sunday mornings when people answer the altar call. I don't know, maybe you guys can verify, probably 90 to 95% are coming back to the Lord. The adults are coming back to, which is really one of the things that we're called to do. The Lord told us to pick up the fallen grain. And so we've been talking a lot about prayer on Wednesday night. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Anyone that answered the call last time to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you did not leave here with books. If you will see Ollie and Nadra tonight, they will make sure you get some books, and they want to pray with you. If you're here tonight, be sure and see them. And so we've been talking about the things of the Spirit. We've been talking about praying for people. We've been talking about those things. And so as I was ministering to the Lord, getting ready, what I really came across my heart was something for the people you are praying for, kind of narrow it in, and then also something for you. One of the great things about working with God and the Spirit of God is that He gives to you and I revelation. Everybody say revelation. What you're walking in the Word of God, He is light and He is life. And one of those two words, light and life, also have to do with revelation. Because revelation is a revealing of light and life. What you are currently walking in today is the revelation of Jesus Christ that you have. One of the things He asked them, who do men say that I am? In other words, is everybody getting the revelation of who I am? Is everybody getting the revelation of who I am? Some say Jeremiah, I don't know, I can't remember who they said he was, but it was one of the prophets. And he said to Peter, he said, but who do you say that I am? You remember? And what did he say? You are the anointed one. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, Simon Bar Jonas, flesh and blood has not. So let's just stop there. A lot of people are walking in a worldly revelation that flesh and blood has revealed to them. They walk in the knowledge of this world. Even born again ones walk as mere men with a revelation of what flesh and blood has told them. Now, I'm grateful that you come and listen to flesh and blood. Me, or Pastor Rhonda, or you've just listened to Pastor Blenda. But that's not what it's talking about. We're giving you revelation from the Word, and your risk, the teacher, the Holy Ghost, is revealing. He's dividing severally depending on where your walk is and what revelation you currently have. He can only divide to you what He'll grow on your revelation, but you got to want more. He's working with the light that you have, and He's wanting to get you more light and more life. And so there's that revealing. And so it's so important for you to understand then if revelation is such a big deal, because Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this, but my Father is in heaven. In other words, the Spirit of God, even before Peter was born again, it's such a profound statement. You didn't get that from me, even though I told you. Even though it was written, and you could have maybe figured it out. You could have got in the old covenant and figured out, oh, he was born in Bethlehem. Check. He came out of Nazareth. Oh, I heard he lived in Egypt. He could have pieced it together and said, okay, he's the one. But Jesus said, flesh and blood, or you didn't investigate this, my Father revealed this to you. And you see, that's really what's got to happen for you going forward and me going forward, because we all want to grow. You're here on a Wednesday night. It's pretty outside, and I'm not trying to talk y'all into leaving, but it's pretty outside. You could have been somewhere else. That tells me that you're hungry for the things of God, and you require and you desire further revelation. Now, there's a whole lot of people that aren't in church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and we're not throwing anything at them. We're just saying their revelation, they're walking with revelation from a man, from some kind of input in society, that it no longer matters to gather together, to hear the word. They're living in a certain way that they're satisfied even though they're not. They're content although we know they're not. They're willing to keep trying to do it their way, although deep down they know it won't work. And so you and I have got to understand the importance of revelation so that we can do what the Apostle Paul said, that he labored diligently for them till Christ be formed in them. And so prayer, and I've been talking about prayer and the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit, but I just am excited as the Spirit of God seems to be giving our church an assignment. Y'all ready for an assignment? Well, I gave you an assignment that he gave me, but I mean an overall assignment for this generation. You and I have come into the kingdom of God with a revelation for such a time as this. And we can help a generation and show them the goodness of, that there is a living God. We can make the word of God available for them, that they can get their own revelation, that they can get a revelation of who he is. But you and I are going to have to do something about it. And the first thing I just want to get to you, and this may be a lot like a splatter a message. I may go a little bit everywhere because I got a whole lot of stuff working in me, and I couldn't even hardly write it down, so I got a piece of paper, and there it's like Pastor Rhonda's notes when she does it. I remember when we first got married, one time I told her she was preaching, and I said, where are your notes? Because all mine are introduction, point one, point two, and she had said, well, they're right here, and it was a yellow sticky note. And I said, and this is why I said to her, you can't preach off of that. And you know what she said to me? Watch me. And I remember she did. I think she threw it down. And so, but I've kind of got one of those things that I need your help, because there's very important, specific information. And I really think it depended on who showed up tonight, because he wants to tailor it to you. And that's kind of unusual for me. But I just want to start. Let's start here. Let's remind ourselves that because you and I have somebody on our heart, a family the Lord has assigned to us, a person, but a family of the Lord is, and we got, and if they're not in church, whether they were, you know, you're not sure whether they're ever born again or they once walked with God, but they're not in church, and we're praying for them. And you know what James 5:16 says in the Amplified? It says, the prayers of a righteous man. Do I got any righteous people in here? So if you're righteous, you know that when you pray, much power, dynamic in its working, is being made available to them. Now, it's made available. They got to take it, but it's made available to them. So whoever you're praying for, every time you open your mouth and pray the word over them, or you pray for them, or you pray in other tongues for them, you're praying for them, there is dynamic power being made available for them. Okay? And why do we need to do that? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4. That seems like a decent place to start. And you know this scripture, but let's read not only 4:4, let's go up to 3. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So if someone's out of church, backslidden, or lost, the gospel is being hid from them. Well, how could that be? How could it be hid from them? I mean, they can Google it. They can hear it. But he's talking about something spiritual. He's talking about something the devil's doing. There's a reason that people are the way they are. And we in the church have to do our part to help them. And so it's not just about us four and no more. It's not just about getting our needs met and our healing and our family being okay. We have to really begin to look. The Lord is asking us as a group of believers to look beyond our families. Yes, he'll take care of your families. You know, you can't really have faith for somebody else unless you know how to have faith for yourself. So he's taught you, he's teaching you. We're always going to grow in that. But he's asking us to reach out and reach out of our comfort zone and reach out and do something he's asked. And he's asked us to pray. But right now, the gospel seems hid to them. Now, what do we know in Ephesians 2? I told you I was going to jump around. Y'all stick with me. In Ephesians chapter 2, it's talking about us, but it's talking about our nature. It says, one times we were aliens from the commonwealth. We were aliens. It says, we were outside. We were outside. We weren't in a covenant. We were outside. And so someone who's not born again, or even if they are born again as a child, but they're not living for God, they're practicing sin, they're operating outside of their covenant. They don't care about their covenant, so they're not invoking their covenant. So they're outside of their covenant. And then it talks about this. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we were by nature, what? Children of. So anyone that, see, you know, I think sometimes people forget this. How many of you know, what are fish real good at? Swimming. Have you ever seen a baby fish, you know, just born? They don't start by jumping. They immediately begin to do what? Swim. Why? Because it's in their nature. What do birds do? Now, don't be telling me about no ostrich or some dodo bird or some duck or chicken. But those two can fly, too. They just don't fly for very long. But birds do what? They fly. Why? Because it's in their nature. I mean, mamas will even kick them out of the nest when they're staying there too long, and they'll be way up high, and they'll, like, fly or die. Because you're supposed to be flying. I'm done taking care of you. Get out. Right? I mean, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. And so it's their nature. By nature, sinners sin. By nature, sinners sin. By nature, you live righteous. So you just need to know your nature and cooperate with it. By nature, see, so listen to me. So when sinners sin, God even did it in the old covenant, but man then has to create laws and rules and regulations to try to keep their sinful nature in check. But you're not under the law. Because you're not supposed to have that. Amen. When you find out who you are, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am complete in him.
Amen.
Right? In him. In him. In whom? I'm in him. So, by nature, those that you and I are praying for, we're just taking it at nature, they don't know how to do right. They don't know to come to church. They don't want to. They don't know what you know. Because when you got born, now just think about it. When you got born again and got a new nature, you wanted to do things different, even if you were having trouble with your flesh. There was something on the inside of you that wanted to start living right. You wanted to clean up your foul mouth. Right? But you see, that's what the devil has to do, is he has to get us out of our nature to act like him. He's trying to act, because now we're born again. He's trying to make you unnatural. Because you're naturally a born again, tongue talking, son and daughter of the Most High God, walking in his ways, talking his ways. His word comes out of you because that's your nature. That's who you are. You're an ambassador here because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You have the breath and the life of God on the inside of you. You've been circumcised with a seal to let everybody know on the inside in your spirit, man, you belong to him. You've cut a covenant. You've cut a covenant with him. You're in covenant. But you see, they're not. And if you look at them and just say, what up? Fix it. They can't. You want them to straighten up, but they can't. Now, you know, there are some people with some strong wills who live moral or mostly moral, but they're still sinners. But for the most part, sinners sin. Just like fish swim and donkeys bray and birds fly. And so what we're after is providing power and understanding the maneuvers of the devil, and yet we've been given authority over him. And if we'll take our authority in the realm of the Spirit when we pray with the revelation we walk in, then it can change their revelation and change who they are. Because they're by their nature, they are sinners. And so we're not looking to clean up sinners. We're looking to get them born again. I was telling a young man the other day, he was painting my house, and he's born again, and he was asking me, you know, when somebody finds out I'm a pastor, you know, the questions a lot of times roll or they walk away. He had questions. And so he asked me a question, and it was about something that he was having a problem with, but I talked to him about that you've got to understand, you've got to live from your new nature. That's not part of your nature anymore. And from your new nature, you can keep that under control. In other words, it was a cussing rhyme thing. And you can, by nature, you've got control of your tongue. You can keep your body. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. But you see, someone who's not born again, there's no way they can walk in the Spirit. It's impossible. So you and I have to do this. So you understand, the gospel, because they're not born again, somehow with that, the devil is seemingly able to hide the glorious light of the gospel to them. This is going on. They're living in sin. They're by their nature, they're sinners. By nature, they're in line for wrath. But at the same time, the gospel, the glorious gospel, because this is what it goes on to talk about, is being hid from them. Well, how can we get it? How did it get not hidden from you? How did that happen? Well, I don't know every way that it happened. But I do know for me, it happened when people started praying for me. And I know that, you know, my mama prayed for me all my life. And there is something to that. There's something to it. I'm watching something in my family. And I don't know how many of them watch it. It just makes me nervous now because I see all the live stream numbers keep going up and up and up all the time. And I wonder, I'd like to have where they're from. But anyway, in case somebody from Illinois is watching, I'm watching my family because I watched my grandmother pray over every one of her children. And she would boldly declare to us that they were all going to go to heaven. And I've watched. You know, I firmly believe she got what she prayed, and even though some of them are a little late to the party, they get in. Amen. Some people, it's a laugh. I don't think a last breath going to meet Jesus is wise, because you don't always know when your last breath is, and you miss out on so much. Aren't you glad you know how to live? But this is how powerful prayer is. Just how powerful prayer is. And then I want to us read on. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not. So they're in a nature, but he's also blinding them. And in the realm of the spirit, I want you to think of being blind. Blind means what? You can't see. You can't find your way. You're going to stumble. And then when you stumble, you're going to cause others to stumble. And so if a parent is stumbling, they're going to cause their children to stumble. Now, if you were delivered out of that and your parents didn't raise you right and now you're raising your children, that's good and that's right. They only knew what they knew. But we can change some things in some people's lives if we understand that the God of this world, the gospel is being hid because he's blinded their... So this glorious light of the gospel has to be seen. It has to be seen in the realm of the spirit. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ is the image of God should shine in them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, so I could really keep going on preaching here, but I want you to see we're looking at the lost. The glory has been hidden from them. The glory has been hidden from them. Their nature is fallen. They still have the old sinful nature. The glorious gospel is hid from them. And who did it? The God of this world. Well, last time I looked, I'm seated above him. Last time I looked, I have authority over him. And so whatever he does, I can undo. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter. And then right after, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That's authority talk. When you have a revelation, when God's given you revelation, especially in this area, then you have the ability to bind and you have the ability to loose. Because right now, Satan has them bound in prison and in darkness. Let's look some more at it. Let's look at Isaiah. I don't know why I jumped. I just did. Isaiah. There was nothing to jump over, it seems. Isaiah 42:7. Well, let's look at verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. That's you. I will hold your hand. That's cool. I'll keep you. I'll give you for a covenant of the people. He's talking about Jesus. For a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Right? And then Matthew chapter 4. Being rehearsed again. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And then John 12:40. He hath blinded their eyes. Well, I could. If I start going backwards, I'm going to be clear up to 31. But it's talking about, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Thus saying Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, we know that Jesus, in Luke 4:18, came. This is where he said he took the scroll, and you all know this verse, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Verse 18, Luke 4:18, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Now, that's not talking about physical blindness there. It's talking about the other stuff, which I said. So this is a spiritual recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So we see that when people are not born again, they sit in darkness. They're blinded by darkness. Jesus has come to do what? To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Now, this is interesting. Even after Jesus' resurrection, I don't totally understand all this, but I just know it happened, and I believe that it's something that you and I want you to look at. Luke chapter 24, the road to Emmaus. Jesus has been raised from the dead. The guys were chatting, and verse 16 says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And then he's talking to them, and he's explaining to them. And then 31 says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and then he vanished out of their sight. My point in bringing that in is, listen, we need to pray and ask the Father to reveal himself to the people. But also, we have to understand the devil has decided by his work to blind the mind of unbelievers. Now, I'm about to get serious. So this is what happens. You and I are walking in revelation. Now, I would like to say that in every area, but I know this and you know this, we know that certain people have they have kind of, like, do you know people that have a revelation of prosperity but have really trouble getting healed? It's a revelation issue. It's not a faith issue. Because they know how to walk in faith for prosperity, they just can't seem to receive their healing. It's a revelation issue, not a faith issue. It becomes a faith issue because they don't have a revelation. Y'all with me? They have more light in one area than they do in another. I don't know how that works with people. For me, it was easier for me because of my natural bent to have revelation for healing, physical healing, before I did for prosperity. Because I used to be an accountant. And 1 + 1 = 2. With God, that's not true. His multiplication system is messed up. It's everything is messed up. And so, that's just kind of how it happened for me. So you and I are walking in revelation. But this is also true, that some people don't have full revelation area because they're deceived. You can be partly deceived or totally deceived. And the amount of deception, tradition, flesh and blood, mental assent you have mixed in with your revelation determines to what level you can walk in that area. Now, there's people with, you can have this full, let's say, full revelation, and then the worst kind of deception is being self-deceived. The Lord told me that's nearly impossible to get someone delivered from. You know self-deceived people. Like you try to help them, and they don't believe anything's wrong, and then those are the kind of people that turn around on you and say you're the one with the problem. And you know that if you give them the truth of the word, and they'll even slice and dice the word to chop you back up with it, even though you're trying to sincerely help them. Being self-deceived, it means you've gone beyond the deception of the devil and you've bought into it and now you firmly believe all of it. And so you're self-deceived. Now, I didn't say it was impossible to get out of that, but if someone's born again and self-deceived, I mean, they're going to have a real hard time fitting into the body of Christ, right? I mean, they're really, because, you know, anyway. I had a whole lot to say there, but I don't think I'm gonna. But really, it's a real issue. Now, the Lord, I mean, He'll get you out of it. Saul was, even though he wasn't born again, Saul was really deceived, but he wasn't self-deceived, because the Bible said, "I did this ignorantly, and in unbelief." So see, sometimes, because how many know Saul thought he was doing everything good. He thought he was doing God a favor. I'm going to get rid of this sect. I'm going to help you, God. I'm going to get rid of these people. Remember, even standing there, giving consent to Stephen being stoned. And because he was doing it in ignorance and unbelief, the Lord, even Jesus, so see, he was operating in a call, but it was being misused. A lot of times the people that you think are the most ungodly, that you would just like somebody to slap them upside the head, they probably have the biggest call of God on their life, causing the most problems, probably have a strong call. Not always, but probably. Because what did the Lord do? He interrupted Saul. Hey, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? He didn't even know him. Who are you? Didn't have a clue. The Lord introduced himself. I'm Jesus. He introduced himself. I'm Jesus. I believe poski semsai to kroste. I would like to introduce myself to a lot of people, but I need your help. I need you to invite me to introduce myself to them. Wow. How is that even? Well, if you heard that a man was coming to put you in prison or could kill you, would you pray? If we knew that somebody was coming to Madison, Alabama, and they could put every Christian in prison, well, you know, before you deny him, the first thing, I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't, but the first thing we'd do is we could call an on the wall, and I bet this place would be full, and then we'd have to use the new building and the other building because it'd be full up in here. And they, if they hadn't got filled with the Holy Ghost, they'd get filled right then, and they'd pray, and they'd pray, and they'd pray. And what does that do, though? That gave God, I believe this, that gave God access to interrupt. Because later on, you'll find out that Paul had relatives that were born again. It just barely mentions it, but how many of you know, if you had a relative, if you had a cousin who was out causing havoc in the church, you might pray for him. You may not even pray, right, Lord, get him, or something like that, Lord, stop him. I don't know, but at least you'd pray, because the Lord did get him. But he got him good. Got him in a good way. Are you with me? We're talking about your power in prayer, and we're weaving all these things in and out. So we're talking about deception. So what's going on with maybe the family you're praying for, or people you know at work, or people in your neighborhood, or your family, or your children, whatever, is they even at maybe at one time had a revelation of who Jesus was, but deception has entered in. Deception has entered in. And with that deception, there's blindness. Someone who is self-deceived is totally blind. And someone is really self-deceived if they don't believe they need a Savior. I don't need somebody to save me. So that's really deceived. But the last time, so we're looking here and we're seeing that the devil, the god of this world, has blinded their minds. But the last time I look, I said, we are over him. We've been raised above him. We have a revelation of our authority, and we can begin to use it, and we're going to use it. And I'm just trying to encourage you all that you have this, and you have this ability. Even the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, he says it again, because it must be real important. Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. He's relaying what happened, and he said, he's telling the king what happened. You know, he fell, and he said, Saul, why persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. And then verse 16 says, but rise and stand upon your feet. For if I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast witnessed, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles of whom I send thee, to open their eyes. Yes. I'm delivering you from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you. We say it like this, Pastor Ron and I say this, you got to get delivered from the people that God sent you to. I'm delivered from you all. So I can freely talk to you all. So I can minister to you. You got to get delivered from the person or people. In other words, you can't care so much what they think about you. You can only care what he thinks about you. So he delivered them, delivering you from the people that I'm going to send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we've got the unbelievers over here in darkness. Now we've got us as believers, we can pray. What can we do? We can bind, we can loose, we can command blinders to come off their eyes. We can command them to come out of deception. We can ask God, Father, reveal yourself to them. Holy Ghost, reveal yourself to them. Show them your love, because it's the goodness of God that will lead them to repentance. Lord, morning, noon, and night, send a laborer across their path that will speak the goodness of God into their life. Lord, I'm asking you to deal with them. Let it be through a bird singing. Let it be through something good that happens. How many know God doesn't have to do something bad, or something bad doesn't have to happen for someone to get to God? Because it's the goodness of God. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that will bring people to true repentance and that will serve him that way. And so we can pray those things. And so we need to understand that because of their fallen nature, they're in darkness. And the glorious gospel is currently being hid from them. And it seems to me that until we really pray, until we really get in there, which is a form of intercession, but it doesn't mean you have to be groaning and travailing. It just means you have to say what the word says over them, and you're approaching the king on their behalf, because they're currently deceived. They're currently sitting in darkness, and somebody needs to help them, and you're that somebody, because the glory of God has risen upon you. And the Bible says that the Gentiles will come to the brightness of your light. What does that mean? One way is you just let that light shine in you as you pray, as you speak out into the darkness and into their darkness. And when you speak into their darkness, the light of the glorious gospel will come, and it will cause them to be able to, it's like it opens the prison door. They see a crack. They see some light. Where's that light coming from? Where's that light? Where's my answer? That looks like an answer. I can walk towards the light. Walk towards the light. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a bug zapping machine. Because that's what some people think God is. Well, I've been so bad. If I walk toward him, he's going to hurt me. He's not going to hurt them. He's going to love them. Now, for you, on the other side of this is for you. If we want to get to greater depths, I don't want to walk in any darkness at all. If you're having trouble in an area, I can't remember how the Lord spoke this to Pastor Rhonda. Maybe she can fix it in a little bit. But anytime you're struggling in an area, you can't seem to get the answer, it's because you lack revelation or there's some darkness in that. So that's how he said it to you. So if like I'm struggling in something, then I lack revelation and there's some darkness in that. Well, how many know the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? The entrance of his word does what? Brings light. So as you read the Bible, as you read the word of God, this is not a history book. Come on, y'all. This is the living word of God. God's got something good to say to you. And there, you know what? Revelation doesn't always come all at once. Sometimes you get something. Come on, you know when you've got something. I've said this before, but you know how to, when you read something in the Bible and you got, or I said something and you really got, I've had people come up to this and get mad at me. I'm preaching something and they walk up and the Lord said something and they're so excited about it and they want me to jump with them. I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, even, I know it's me, they won't do it to me, but it's like, no, you don't get it. And I'm like, I understand. It's, well, as me, as a pastor, sometimes when you get a revelation on something and you're trying to get it into everybody, that's what me, sometimes I want to shake it into you, but I can't shake it into you. You have to ask for it, and you have to let him reveal it to you, and you've got to have some word on the subject, and the more words you have on the subject, and then you're praying for yourself. Father, I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I would know the hope of your calling, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I pray the eyes of my, you know, this is why I always pray for you every Sunday morning. Father, I pray they have eyes to see, ears to hear. Because what does the Bible say? When you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can be converted. And see, people think, well, that means salvation only. No, it means in every area of your life. I've been having conversion after conversion after conversion. Because it's here a little, there a little. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Grow here a little, grow there. You get more light, get more light. And until you get the light, you can't walk in it. You can't walk in my, I can't wear Saul's armor. I can't walk in Joyce's revelation or Kenneth's or Creflo's or Bill's or whoever else your other favorite preacher is besides me. You know, you can't. I've watched people do it and get so frustrated. Well, you know, or it worked for them, so it'll work for me. Well, have you ever tried this? You ever tried to walk around a house and on the seventh time around claim it and believe that God gave it to you? A car, a Beamer. A Beamer. They walk around it. But that's Joshua's revelation. That's not yours. And just because it's recorded in the Word, that won't work for you. Unless he told you to go lay across the Beamer and claim it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I mean, stranger things have happened, but just because somebody else has a testimony along those lines, I've watched people get so disappointed and say this name it and claim it stuff doesn't work. But because they're going somewhere without a revelation, they're just trying to be Polly Parrot. In other words, you know what I mean? That parrot don't know what it's saying. It's just got the ability to repeat. It can't carry on a conversation, whether you think it can or not. It is not having a conversation with you. I'll tell you a funny one. This is funny. My mom's probably thinking, hoping me to tell this. One of the things, my grandma had a parakeet. She always had a parakeet, and they could do it too. And so she taught the parakeet. Now, don't anybody call me Marky, because you'll be in trouble. But my name to my mamma was Marky, and I worked at McDonald's, so she taught it to say, Marky, go get me a Big Mac. And so then I had an Aunt Ellen who was ornery as cat dirt. I mean ornery. And so she stayed with my grandma for a while. And so I heard her trying to she's from Louisville, and she had a real southern accent. And so I heard her trying to teach the parakeet to say this, Ruthie, get the preacher a beer. That's mean, right? He never said that. He was a sanctified parakeet. And so, but you cannot just repeat things what people do and expect it to happen. You've got to have your own revelation. David's revelation of how God used him caused him to slay the giant. And so, twofold tonight. The second fold was a little shorter than I wanted it to be. But you need revelation. How do you get it? Ask for it. As you study the Word, as you read the Word, Lord, I thank you for more light. Father, I have eyes that see. Not just pray it on Sunday morning with me or when I have you confess it. I have eyes that see. Because see, they have to see. You have spiritual eyes. You're a born-again person. Your nature is of God. And so you have God eyes and God ears.
You can see things that he sees. You can hear things that he hears. So you can see things that he's trying to put in front of you. You can hear what he's saying. Not with these, not where you put your earrings, but there's, you have spiritual ears. I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. I have a heart that understands so that I can be converted. But then you pray that over yourself. You believe that for yourself, and you walk in the revelation. And then revelation is progressive. If you're having trouble, you know, you've been around and you're hearing things here on a regular basis, but you're not partaking of them, or it seems harder for you, then ask the Lord to give you more revelation in that. I watch it with people with the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they sit through my foundational doctrines class, because I give it to them, give them scripture, foundation, doctrine. Then I lay hands on them, tell them when a hand's laid upon them, the Spirit of God is going to come upon them, and that's what happens. That's what they do, he does, and then things are changed. So if you're having trouble in any area, increase the doctrine. Find the word on it. Find scriptures on it, because it'll bring light. But then, before we go, y'all stand up, because we've gone longer than I thought we would. I was going to let you out at 8:15 tonight as my spring break present to you, but it didn't happen. And y'all, your kids are sleeping in tomorrow anyway, so it don't matter. All right, so I want you to think of that family. If you haven't been praying with us about a family, what we're concentrating on, and this does not mean these are bad people. They're probably good people. They probably are. Just don't know what's important. Don't know what's vital, of real value. Because you and I know that being born again, serving God, gathering together, worshiping, learning the things of God, how really important it is to our life and to our children. So we're concentrating on a family. And so tonight, I want you, like a laser, I'm going to lead you in prayer. I'm going to pray general. But we're going to take authority over the God of this world, who's trying to blind them and hiding the gospel from them, lest the glorious gospel would enter in. And so that's where we're going to concentrate our prayer on. So if you haven't been joining with us, all you're doing is you're picking a family that's either backslidden or, you know, they're lost. And we really are aiming for children and teenagers and young adults because we want them to be born again. So we're aiming the whole family.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.